assignment this morning is membership in the Church of Christ necessary to obtain salvation? What an awesome, awesome word, topic, and assignment. I want to approach it from this way this morning. I want to first of all answer that in the absolute affirmative by saying yes. In order for one to be saved, he must be a member of the church that Jesus died for. And I want to approach it from the key thought perspective. I want to give you this objective this morning by telling you that all of God's children are in his house. The Bible tells us that we need to make sure that we look at the word of God and let it be our God. 2 Timothy 3, as Paul began to teach the young preacher Timothy, in verse 15, Paul said, "And that from a child thou hast known the most holy scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." So it is my conviction this morning that in order to answer this question or any deeply rooted Bible question, we need to go to the Word of God and see what God has to say about it. Someone has confused the very simple things of God. Well, the problem is today that people are preaching, but they're not preaching what is of thus saith the Lord. They're talking, but they're not talking text. Someone have said, if you take the text out of its context, what are you left with? Nothing but a con. I need to tell you today that if we're going to reach the world and win the world for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to get back to book, chapter, and verse preaching in changing God's word, in confusing what the Lord has said. Someone need to scream from the top of their voice and tell the world, as Isaiah, the Bible tells us there, that God said through Isaiah that we need to understand Isaiah 35 in verse 8, there is a highway there and a way. And it should be called the way of holiness. The unclean should not pass over it. And the fools, watch this right here, should not err therein. The word of God makes it plain that the ways of God are very, very simple. Psalm 119 verse 130. The Bible says the answer to thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The word of God plainly teaches that Jesus Christ came for an express purpose. He realized what his purpose was. He came here to do the Father's business. Did not Jesus say in his seven sayings on the cross when he had completed the work, he said it is finished. He knew his purpose in coming. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. In order for you and I to be the people of God and the church of Jesus Christ, we need to affirm what the Bible affirmed. And that is that it takes membership in the churches of Christ to be saved. And the point I want to prove this morning is that God has no bastard children. Now, if you don't like that, I'll explain it in just a moment. God doesn't have children outside of his fellowship. He does not have wayward children. He does not have children that are not within the body of Jesus Christ. In Zechariah chapter 1 verse 16, Zechariah said, "Doth saith the Lord of hosts, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies, and my house shall be built in it." Jeremiah 32 and 39, "And I shall give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever." Is that plain this morning? Psalm 127 verse 1, 2 and 3, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watch when he waketh, but in vain." The only thing for honest men and women to do this morning is to acknowledge that the word of God is true and obey what has been written. Deuteronomy 4:2, Proverbs 30 verse 6. And the Bible tells us that we're not to add to it, not to take away from it. And Revelation 22:17, do not take away from God's simple and God's perfect law. We can, church, understand what the Bible says. We can affirm and we can teach what is of thus saith the Lord. The Bible makes it very clear that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, right with divine in the word of truth. 1 Peter 3:15, Peter also said that we ought to be ready always to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within us with meekness and with fear. The very fact that God have given us a Bible, commanded that we read and study the Bible, that we preach and teach the Bible, it's proof, brethren, that it can be achieved. It is obtainable. It can be understood. And we all can understand the Bible. Like, you don't have to say amen. I got a whole pocket full of amens up here. Amen, Walter. Like, the Bible, it best helps us see that when I abide by what the Lord says, I can obtain what the Lord has in store for me. Yes, membership in the body of Christ is important and necessary that one might be saved. 2 Timothy 2:10, the apostle Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation. Where's the salvation, Paul? Which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Where's salvation, Paul? In Jesus Christ. How do I obtain the salvation in Jesus Christ? I'm so glad you asked. Galatians 3:26-27. For you all the children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, whether it's either Jew nor Greek, bond or free, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 3, a very beautiful text. Here the writer began to describe to the Jewish believers, the Hebrew believers, that being in Christ is the best place to be. He affirmed that Jesus, he's better than Moses, better than Joshua, better than Abraham, better than angels. He affirms that heaven is a better place than the promised land of Canaan. Hebrews 3:5, as Moses very was faithful in all of his house, as a servant for a testament of those things which were to be spoken after. Watch this here. But Christ, as son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast in confidence and a rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? What are you trying to affirm? I'm trying to affirm that yes, the Lord has a house. He has but one house. And if we're going to help the world to be saved, we need to let them know that they need to be in the house that belongs to Jesus Christ in order to be saved. It was Paul that said in Ephesians 3:14-15, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You understand that this morning? That's my point this morning. That Jesus Christ does not have, God does not have any bastard children. Those are outside children. Paul's point is all of God's children are in his house. In Hebrews 12:22-23, Paul, the writer here says, but you are come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Who are these people? The text says the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of just men made perfect. However, the problem today is that we have taken this simple truth of God. We've taken it all out of its original context. And we now have a better felt than told gospel that some preach. We now have a gospel that says, do what you want to do. It's like the Burger King mindset. Have it your way. But I've come to say this morning that you do not have a choice. Matthew 7:13, Jesus said, enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is that gate and broad is that way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few that be that find it. Many of us this morning shy away from wanting to be called narrow-minded. Thank you for the compliment. Thank you for the compliment. If I'm called narrow-minded because I say what Jesus said, thank you for the compliment. We need to get back to telling dying men and women that the way of the cross does lead home. 2 Timothy 4, the Apostle Paul, again warning Timothy, informing and encouraging him, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, is appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Preach the word, preachers. There are no alternative routes to pursue. There are no secondary sermons to pursue. Put Zig Ziglar up, Warren, and all the other different people we look at and we quote from. Preach the word. Be incident in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come. That time is here now. When they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall be turned away from the truth, and shall be turned unto favorable watchdown in all things. Endure afflicted, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. And then Paul said, for I'm not ready to be offered, and the time of the part is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day. But not to me only, but unto all of those that love his appearing. Men have contaminated God's clean, polluted God's pure, dirtied up God's deity, spit upon God's sovereignty, and they've undermined God's authority. And I'm come to say this morning, it's time somebody load the shotgun and begin to shoot something at that type mindset. I bore with today and unapologetically affirm again that it takes membership in the Lord's church to be saved. Why, Brother Fantor? Because the Church of Christ is not a fly-by-night institution. It is rock solid. It is hell-proof. It is heaven-bound. The Church of Christ this morning, it has been affirmed and proven and verified in prophecy. Brother Young last night dealt with Isaiah 2. He talked about the who, the when, the what, and the where. What? The mountain of the Lord's house to be established in the top of the mountain. When? In the last day. Where? In Jerusalem. Amen, walls and lights. And what we need to do today, if we believe what the word of God says, then we need to affirm the who. All nations shall flow into it. Everybody want to be saved. The Bible says they must be saved by the same method. In the same place, Matthew 16, they came, Jesus did, to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And he asked the disciples, whom do men say that I am? Y'all still preach this. And they said, some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're John the Baptist or Elijah, or one of the prophets. But Jesus said, but whom do you say that I am? Oh, I love Peter. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon, but Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. Oh, I've come to say this morning, why in the world would Jesus build the church, give up his life, shed his blood, die the most cruelest type death known to man, that's death by crucifixion, and then he would allow some snotty-nosed preacher to come behind him, duplicate what he has done, and then add faithful to that one. Brethren, it does not make good sense. 2 Peter 2, Peter said, there's to be false prophets among you, as a false prophet among the people, who shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, that by bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And then he says, many shall follow their pernicious ways. May I suggest this morning that I'm never intimidated. I'm not drawn back when I see mega churches growing. When I see these mega churches in comparison to our church. Don't be defeated. The Bible, the prophecy tells us that many will follow their pernicious ways. Jesus said many will walk down the broad way through the wide gate. I'm glad to be a part of the few and the proud. The narrow-minded teachers of the gospel plan of Jesus Christ. On that Pentecost, the first one, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter being commissioned by Jesus, being in Matthew 16, 9, given the key, 19, given the keys of the kingdom. He was told, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And now Acts 2, verse 14, 15, and 16, when they received the Spirit, people thought they were drunk with new wine. Peter said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. See, it is but the third hour of the day. He said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And Peter began to quote verbatim Joel chapter 2 to the point that what you can see is what Joel said is what they were witnessing. Acts 2:36, Peter, the Bible said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know it surely that God had made that same Jesus you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Imagine that. Gospel preaching. So powerful, so convicting that people asked the question, what shall we do? So much preaching today is so soft soap. So soft soap. So loving, so unconvicting that people don't know whether or not they're just hearing a good smooth talk. You want to get my blood boiling? Tell me, Brother Francho, I appreciate your talk. I don't talk, I preach. Amen, walls and lights. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. 38, every one of you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You take that sermon and preach it in most places, well, and a lot of places today, and you have a problem. For this promise unto you, and to your children, to many as afar off, to whom the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2:40, many other words and exhort and testify, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that kind of received this word were baptized. And that same they were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. Oh, I appreciate what Brother Stephen said last night. What does it take in order for the church of Christ to be the church of Christ? When one obeys the gospel, he can become a member of the church of Christ. But it also takes a continuation in that gospel to maintain the true identity as the church of Christ. Acts 2:43, fear came upon every soul. Many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They saw the possession good and part of every man. Every man had need. They continued day with one accord in the temple. And from house to house they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God, having faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, those who were being saved. Just imagine which church was it? Which one was it that the Lord added saved people to? Which church was it that we need to affirm and reaffirm that it takes membership in that one that folk might be saved today? If it worked in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, brothers, I tell you it'll work today. If it was good enough then, it must be good enough now. And we need to teach men and women that they need to be a member of the same church that Peter baptized and taught folk to be added to in the text of Acts 2. If your sermon has changed, you ought to put it in a trash can. It's no good for nothing. It is a tremendous mistake on the part of these soft soap, so-called jellied back, smooth talking, weak walking, Church of Christ preachers that are saying that there are saved folk everywhere. That's a tragedy. That's disheartening. That's downright shameful. That those that once would stand and say what the Bible says, now all of a sudden have developed some form of spiritual amnesia. Now there's saved folk everywhere, they say. Then it's even more disheartening when we look at the fact that the denominational world, they're looking at us now and they're saying, well, you all can't be the right group because you all have so many splits that even your splits have splits now. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. And I need to say this right here, and you might not like it, but I need to tell you anyhow. Preachers and elders that are here, all we've heard some great lessons, there's some great lessons yet to come. But I tell you, brother, if you can go to a lectureship like this one, and if you can take your time and you can prepare such a great exhortation of a message, and yet in your local church, elders and local members that you are shepherding, if you are not encouraging them, and if you all are not practicing the evangelism of the world with this gospel that you're preaching here, what hypocrisy. What hypocrisy. Isn't it sad that gospel preachers do much more counseling than they do teaching folk how to be saved? Oh, you're quiet now. Well, you're quieter now. Isn't it a shame that we do much more talking about each other in the body of Christ? That we do it, what the Johnson is trying to say this morning. Reaching out to try to save a dying and lost world doomed for hell. May God help us to get back to the basics. To get back to first century Pentecost preaching and telling people what they must do in order that they might be saved. Revelation 21. Verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And John said, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God as a bride adorned for her husband. Do you think for a moment that there are saved folk in any and all churches? Then let me tell you that the Bible pictures the church as a beautiful bride of Christ. And I need to tell you that Jesus does not have a multiplicity of brides. Jesus does not have brides everywhere. He does not have more than one bride. And the church of Christ is a bride of Jesus Christ. Incidentally, every bride is aware of its husband's name. We had a thing in the world today where people have hyphenated names. what Christ and God doesn't have a hyphenated name. When I go home, be God's will tonight, I'm going to the house where Sharon Fantroy is. That's my bride. She wears my name. I do not have the freedom to drop by any woman's house on my way home and calling that my house or my bride. I think you understand that. Jesus will not. He does not. He does not have different brides. And guess what, friends? When he comes back, he'll get his bride. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where I'm going, there you may be also. And he says, I'm going to prepare this place, and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. I guarantee you, Jesus, when he comes again, he'll know exactly who his bride is, what she looks like, and he'll know all of her identifying marks, and he won't make a mistake. The book of Ephesians has been marked the book that deals with the church as a body of Christ. And here the Apostle Paul, he preaches, he affirms, he reaffirms, he encourages, he edifies these Ephesian believers along the lines that the church and the body, they're one and the same. He tries to encourage these believers here not to live beneath their privileges, to understand all the great benefits they have in Jesus Christ. He tries to help them to understand that in Christ Jesus we have all spiritual blessings. We have been atoned. We have been adopted. We've been redeemed. We've been inherited. We've been delivered. We've been adopted. We've been brought near to God by Christ. We've been reconciled to God. He reminds them in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 of all the great things that God has done through Christ to save mankind. And then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he reminds us of our obligation, our responsibility to live out appreciatively the truths of God's word. And as I look at this thing here tonight, this morning, is membership in the Lord's church necessary for salvation? These believers in the book of Ephesians, they were taught it. They were encouraged to live by it. In chapter 1, Paul, he affirmed that the church is a body and the body is a church. In verse 20, Paul said, for which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. For above all principalities and powers, might and dominion, every name in his name, and over this world, but that which is to come, and have given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The body is the church in chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 2, relative to the subject, Paul, he helped both the Jew and Gentile to understand that they've both been reconciled to God in one body by the cross. Verse 16, verse 11, he helped them understand that in times past they were Gentiles in the flesh. They were called the uncircumcision by the circumcision made with hands, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise. Paul says you are without hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you which were afar have been made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have peace in the one body, which is the one church that the blood of Jesus Christ purchased. Take heed therefore unto yourself and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord which he hath purchased with his own blood, Acts 20 and 28. He makes it firm. He makes it plain. He makes it clear in chapter 2 that the both Jew and Gentile that were saved the same way, in the same place, in the one body, by the cross. In Ephesians 3, Paul, he makes the point very clearly that the church of the Lord, the church of Christ, I don't know, we're the only one, but it's left up to us to make known unto the world the manifold wisdom of God. In verse 10, which he purposed in Christ Jesus according to the eternal purpose of God. Oh no, we're not a plan B. Oh no, there is no church as good as the church of Christ. Oh no, there's not another, I don't care how wise the founder was, that can compare to the one that came about according to the eternal purpose of God in Christ Jesus. And in Ephesians 3:10, I've already said, God has no bastard children. Paul said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is him. I know because of the world we live in, the families with mothers and stepdads, dads and stepmothers, stepchildren, and no offense to that. If you're scripturally married, no offense on my part. But I've come to say today that all of Jesus' children, they wear his name. It's possible to have a dad named Smith, the wife named Smith, but have a child, Rudolph, Randolph, any other Dolph, because of the type of world we live in. But I've come to say, don't you let the world and that thinking confuse you when it comes to religion. All of God's children in God's house, they are called Christians. They're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They're all in the same place. They all wear the same name. We, Isaiah 62 and verse 2, the Bible tells us that we should be called by a new name. Acts 11, 26, we find out that new name, where are you going? That new name is called Christians. And if we're going to be the people of God, we got to teach it, brethren. We got to preach it in the local churches where you preach. Elders, help lead your congregation in going outside these walls and telling people that the church of Christ is right. And if you're not encouraging home folk to evangelize, you're spending more time debating and fussing and fighting. And there's a time and a place for that. But if you're spending more time doing that, then I need to remind you that you've forgotten what the Great Commission is. The Great Commission does not read, see what other Church of Christ preacher that you can write up. It might be even quieter now. The Great Commission says, go teach and baptize. And keep teaching. I'm blessed to have a body of believers in Flint, Michigan. A great group of elders that encourages each other with our elders lead in my preaching to evangelize. Right now we're in a great, great time. We buy this type preaching. We baptized some 12 people in the last month. Had a Bible study this past week that literally brought me to tears to see this man raised as a Baptist, very educated man, and he had such wonderful Bible questions. And when I told him what God said, he said, Brother Fan Troy, anybody can see that. How dare these Baptist preachers been teaching me and my family all of these things, all of these years? And he was baptized into Jesus Christ this past Wednesday night from this type of Pentecost preaching. Brethren, we got to get back to telling men and women what the Lord said in Ephesians 4. As I hasten to a conclusion, not only is membership in the body of Christ necessary, but in chapter 4, Paul shows us the need to preach oneness. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope. Is that in your Bible? One calling, one God and Father who's above all, in all, and through you all. Ephesians 5, he shows a beautiful connection between the husband and wife relationship, that between Christ as husband to his church, his bride. 23 of Ephesians 5, the Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, he shows us that as a church, the army of the Lord, we need to mount up. We need to prepare ourselves for battle. And that's not against one another, Ephesians 6:12, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's our job to fight the devil. I thank God this morning that membership in the church of Christ is necessary to be saved. I thank God this morning that all of God's children are in his house. And I'm blessed, I'm privileged, and you are as well, to be a member of that church. Friends, we have the Bible. Read it. We have the gospel. Preach it. We have the church. Love it. Support it. We have Christ. Receive him. We have God on him. And we have the world. Preach to it. Teach to it the simple truths of God. Then they too might enjoy the blessed privilege you and I have of being members of the greatest institution known to man, the Church of Christ. God bless you.